Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church, and Pastor Britt and his wife, and always enjoy coming here, always enjoy the fellowship, and appreciate everybody taking good care of us, staying with Jeremiah and Sarah and Ace and the girls and the boy, amen. But had a good time, enjoyed the fellowship. And can I just say this, those of you that, it takes a lot to put on a meeting like this. And Cornerstone Bible Baptist Church members are flat out exhausted, amen? And they're tired. And I know firsthand this week, I don't know all the behind the scenes that happened, but I was able to observe a lot of it. And the members of this church are to be commended for their hard work and their sacrifice. I mean, sacrifice, financial sacrifice, just a lot of things. And it's more than just renting this facility. And meals have to be taken care of, and motels and different things like that, and fuel and plane tickets. And so I appreciate that, and appreciate everybody asking about Stacy. We are still married. Amen. We just don't see each other that much anymore. Amen. But I left Indiana about almost a month ago, and so I was glad she came up for a couple of days, stayed out at my mom's house, and so I'll be home Tuesday, but I appreciate everybody asking about her. It's just the norm now that when they come up to you and they don't even say, "Hey, Brother Craig, it's good to see you." It's, "Where's Stacy?" And I said, "I'm doing good. Thanks for asking." Amen. And now we can talk about Stacy. Amen. But anyways, take your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12. Let's all stand if you would. I told the cooks, I'm not going to preach long. I know that's been said 50 times this week, and not any of them, when they said it, were telling the truth. But I'm going to do my best to keep it at a certain amount of time. I'm not going to tell you what that is in case I lie, okay? But I promise we'll be eating before too long. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 12. Now that I mentioned the food, get it out of your mind, okay? Just concentrate on what's happening here. Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." Verse 6 says, "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." For a few minutes, I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. I've got something to shout about. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, we need you. We can't do anything without you. We know that. We're not ignorant of our limitations. But God, we're going to trust you to help us, Lord, to just look at this section of scripture tonight and try to encourage some folks. And Lord, we thank you for this church. We ask, God, that you'd bless them. God, I pray that next week somehow you'd provide some opportunities to get some rest and some relaxation and get their physical batteries recharged. And Lord, I know things got to come down tonight. Give them maybe some of that tomorrow. And so, Lord, we ask God now that you bless our next few minutes together in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Isaiah chapter number 12 is a song of praise and thanksgiving for redemption and salvation and strength and the song that comes with salvation. It's a song of praise for comfort. And it says there in verse number 1, it says, "And in that day." Well, what day is that? Well, if you look up to the verse above it, verse 16 of the previous chapter, it says there shall be an highway for the remnant of this of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And I'm just going to tell you tonight, thank God for the day that if you're saved, thank God for the day that you came up out of the land of Egypt. And he says there in verse number 1, "I will praise thee." Now, do not let that word praise get you nervous. We us Baptists have become afraid of the word worship. Well, I don't want to sound charismatic or anything. I want to sound biblical. And praise is a Bible word. Worship is a Bible word. And so if it's in the Bible and we're commanded to do it, then let's do it. Amen. And it says there, "Though thou wast angry with me." That's past tense. Talking about God being angry with his people, past tense. That is a reference to us in our unregenerate state. You say, what do you mean our unregenerate state? That's a reference to us before we got saved. Right. Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. He's talking about before salvation. Hey, thank God, now that we're saved, we no longer have to face the eternal wrath of God. Amen. I made mention of it last night. For those of you that weren't here, I'll say it again. Hell does not scare me. I'm not going. I'm not one little spark, not one little flame, not the tiniest little shred of it is going to ever touch me. And Brother Moore was exactly right. For the child of God, this is as bad as it's ever going to get for us. And so I'm thankful. Hey, there's an old song that says, "I'm not going to hell." And I say, hallelujah, amen. I'm not going. Though thou wast angry, past tense. And so we've got three things I want to give you tonight that we've got that a child of God can get excited about and we can shout about. Child of God ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. I say it all the time, and I'll probably say it till the day I die. I like hanging around people who are happy. I don't like hanging around people that are depressed all the time. There are some people, I do not ask them, "Hey, how you doing?" Because they're dying to tell me how bad it is. I've got people in my phone book, in my contact list, on my cell phone. I got their name and number, and I don't ever plan on answering the call if they ever do call me. Ain't heard it all week, and that's his first time. Amen. And you say, "Well, why don't you plan on answering the phone call?" Because they're one of the ones I'm talking about, Brother Moore. They're the ones that's depressed all the time. Right. They go to the doctor, get a good report, and they're mad. You ask them how they're doing. You want to go after they're done telling you how they're doing. You want to go jump off the bridge with them. I'm not making light of people that are going through things. Amen. I'm talking about the people that never get happy about anything. Right. But listen, if this is the worst that it's ever going to be for a child of God, then we've got some eternal things that we can get happy about and get excited about. The first one is in verse number 2. Actually, all of them are in verse number 2. But the first one says, "Behold, God is my salvation." Hey, listen, if you're here tonight and you're saved, I'm happy about your salvation. Amen. But God is my salvation. I've got something that I possess, and that's salvation from a holy, loving, merciful God who when I called out to him in faith and trust and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved me. He's our Savior. He's a great God. He's the Christ is the Son of the living God. I'm telling you, we ought to get excited about our salvation. Jesus was the only one qualified to be the Savior. There was I had to remove a couple of people from my Facebook list this week because they got into a theological discussion. And if you disagree with what I'm about to say, that's fine. You can be wrong. But was a discussion on could Jesus have sinned? They said he could, but he didn't. He did not have the capability of sin. He was not born with a sin nature. And they say that he could have, he just chose not to. No, why would you want a God like that? It's not that he couldn't or that he didn't. He couldn't. That was not in his makeup. You say, but he was God and he was man. Yeah, but he was man because he took on flesh. Right. But he didn't have sinful flesh. Right. If he could have sinned and he just chose not to, then there would have been no need for the virgin birth. The virgin birth proves that he could not have sinned. Yes, sir. And listen, I'm glad that we have a spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. That took upon my sin and your sin. Amen. Hey, listen, we ought to sing praises to God for our salvation. Yes. Well, I'm going to tell you are discouraged. You're having a bad time. Can I tell you what will encourage you at least a little bit? Just sit around and take a little moment or two reflect on the day that you got saved. Yes, sir. Amen. Think about where you were. Think about, amen, whether it was in a church service, somebody knocked on your door, or like Brother Ed, he was just sitting in his one of the rooms in his house and there wasn't nobody else around. Yep. But think about how close you came, maybe to not being where you were that day. And then the Holy Ghost of God came by your way, convicted your soul, showed you that you needed a Savior. And thank God that you had enough sense, amen, to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that day that you did that, he became your salvation. Amen. You think about the fact that you were lost and on your way to hell, but thank God. One of my favorite verses in Scripture starts out with, but God, who is rich in mercy. Amen. Who is rich in mercy. Isaiah 45:22, the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God did not leave us without hope and without help. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter says, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, if you're here and you're saved, you got something to shout about. Ain't a whole lot to shout about. Ain't a whole lot to get excited about in this life. Amen. But we can get something. We got something to get excited about because we know what's happened to us and we know what's coming in the next life. Amen. Are you saved? Amen. Is God your salvation? Has there been a time in your life where you became aware of the fact that your sin offended a holy God and Jesus died for your sin? I'd encourage you tonight, if you're not saved, that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And then the second thing we can get excited about, and we can shout about it, says there in verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. Well, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing we can do in this life in our own strength. Our strength has limits. We do not have everlasting strength. God is all powerful. Can I tell you tonight, you may be here tonight and you're bearing a heavy load. Can I tell you, God never intended for man to bear the load by himself. Amen. You say, well, Brother Craig, I try and I struggle and all of that. Hey, listen, why don't you quit trying and start trusting? Amen. He is our strength. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. You know what that means when it says a very present help? That means he's never far away. Amen. And here's what we do. Yeah, but I can't feel them. Never trust your feelings. You say, well, Brother Craig, I can't see him. Doesn't mean he's not there. If you don't feel him, it does not mean he's not there. If the Word of God says that he's a very present help, then he's a very present help. It don't matter whether you can see it, whether you can feel it or not. If he's there, amen. Sometimes you just got to live by faith.
Amen.
Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ. Right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, our sufficiency is of God. There's several definitions to that word sufficiency. But he is an eternal help. Do you realize, I heard a preacher say this in a meeting not a while ago, and I tell you, I have took hold to it, and I got so excited. People say, man, well, pray for me, Brother Craig, I'm at the bottom. You know what? I've got scripture that proves that nobody will ever hit the bottom. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, underneath are the everlasting wings.
Amen.
That means you'll never hit rock bottom. You'll never touch bottom. No matter how low you go, no matter how down you are, if you're saved, amen, hey, the everlasting wings are right there, amen. He's not going to drop us. He's not going to let us go. It's not, hey, you say, well, it feels like it's getting a little bit rocky sometimes. Hey, we're in the hand of God. And the book of Isaiah says his hand spans the heavens. Amen. We're just trying to talk about some things we got to praise God for. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We would do good if we would just read the Bible for what it says and not what we want it to say. Boy, I tell you, Brother Craig, that's right, man. I'm telling you, boy, that victory, I am praying that God will give me that victory. Would you quit praying for God to give you victory? According to that verse, he's already given it to you.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. It doesn't say thanks be to God, which will give us the victory, or that will one day give us the victory. I'm not an English major, but I did do a little research on that, and that word giveth in its old English form is in the present progressive tense. That means he's always giving us the victory.
Amen.
But yet, we got to justify our feelings. I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what we feel. Amen. Why can't we just take God at his word?
Amen.
It's been preached this week, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
Now, if you put the emphasis in the wrong part of that verse, you're going to get discouraged. The emphasis is not I can. The emphasis is through Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It's not our strength. It's not our power that we do it. I can do all things, but it's through the power of God, through the power of Christ. Which strengtheneth us. Strength is ability, physical, mental, spiritual ability, wisdom, knowledge, discernment. Matthew chapter 11 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's economy just don't match up with man's economy. In order to become strong, you have to be first what? In order to get, you have to. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Well, a yoke is indicative of work. And he's talking about giving strength. Yes, because the yoke is a two-headed yoke. And anytime you've got a two-headed yoke, there's always one who takes the lead. And you know what we're doing? We're not in that lead yoke position. We're in the other one, and we're just going along for the ride. Because that lead yoke position is the one that takes the brunt of the effort. And he gets it done. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's one thing you can say about being in this thing called Christianity. Amen. You can buckle your seatbelt. It will be a bumpy ride. Amen. I talk to some people who claim to be saved, and they say that life is just dull and boring. I don't know what they got.
Right.
They did not get what I got. Amen. And the older I get, the less dull and boring it is. Amen. We will find no greater strength than our Savior. We'll find no greater source of strength than our God. And then in verse number two there, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Well, I'm going to tell you what. There ought to be days in a Christian's life where you just wake up with a song in your heart. And I don't mean, amen, gloom, despair, and agony on me. I don't mean, amen, all these depressing songs. I'm talking about a song of joy, a song of rejoicing, a song that lets you know it's God, it's all about Him. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Hey, not only have we got something to shout about, but we've got something to sing about. I like the hymn book.
Amen.
It's all about Him. I mean, hey, there's song books that got 400 songs in them. I've seen some of them got 800 songs in them. They got 500 songs. It don't matter. You're not going to find a song in those books that does not have to do. It's got to do with Him. We're all singing about the same person. We're all singing about the same one. I like the old-fashioned hymns. Amen. I like new songs that are good songs.
Right.
Amen. We heard some new songs tonight that they ain't been around less than 20 years.
Right.
Can I just tell you something? It's okay for a new song.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. At one time, Fanny Crosby's songs were new.
Yes.
There was a time when hers were only a year old.
Right.
It's okay. Amen. I'm not talking about this 7-Eleven junk, you know, the same seven words repeated 11 times. Man, that contemporary stuff is God. You don't get three notes out of the instruments and you know. I mean, your spirit knows. This is not good. You know, one of the things that's aggravating me today, I mean, this is flat out aggravating me today, is they're taking the old hymns and putting a contemporary sound to them.
Right, yeah.
Man, I want to go. I wish I could find out who arranged that and just go choke them. Amen. And not even in Jesus' name. Just do it. Amen. Slap them upside the head. You say, would it fix anything? No, but I'd feel better about it. But we talk about the old songs. We in our songbook, we got songs about salvation. We've got songs about heaven, songs about the blood, amen? Songs about hope and help, and songs about the rapture, songs about Calvary, amen? Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, 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 amen? I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. Everybody will be happy over there.
Amen.
Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. Oh man, I think it was a Moore sang a song the other day saying, "It is well with my soul." I mean, I don't see how you can be saved and not get excited about that. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, amen, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Man, I'm going to tell you, you get more excited about a football game or a hockey game than you do the old hymns and the songs of God. Amen. Your priorities have messed up.
Amen.
We sang, "I'll fly away this week." Amen. We're going to fly away one of these days. That's better than an upgrade to first class on United Airlines. Hallelujah. Amen. Which I just checked the other day. I'm hoping for on Tuesday. Amen. Victory in Jesus.
Yes.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you this, just the old songs. Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him."
Yes.
If you read the book of Luke chapter 19, you find out that if you and I don't praise God, the rocks are going to. I ain't letting a rock take my place in shouting amen and praising God. I'll tell you, he's been way better to me than I deserve. Amen. Do we got hard times, trials, amen, things we don't understand? Oh, sure, all of those, amen. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, when you're saved, amen, I've got more blessings than problems.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Craig, I'm in the valley. Hey, do you realize in order for there to be a valley, there's got to be two mountaintops?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we got a lot of humanly legitimate reasons to complain, but we don't have any eternal legitimate reasons to complain. It'll all be over one of these days. Look there in Isaiah chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation."
Yes.
With salvation comes joy. You know, I got thinking about this when I was sitting back there. I have never seen a new convert get depressed 5 minutes after they got saved. I haven't. It's all of us that have been saved 20 years that's depressed. We wonder why we don't see people saved. Why would they want what you got? You walking around with your lower lip in the gravel, amen? Eating stones and rocks and dirt? Why would they want what you got? Amen. Verse 4, "And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord."
Amen.
Declare his doings among the people. And then I like what it says, make mention. You know, I mean, just kind of, well, say something about it. And then he talks about shouting. Cry out and shout. And here's what a lot of people say. They get all spiritual about it. Well, Brother Craig, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And so if I'm not really feeling it, then I don't want to be a fake. Verse number 6 says, cry out and shout. It didn't say whether you feel like it or not. Maybe if you did it, you'll feel like it will catch up to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, I don't want it to be fake. I want it to be real. He didn't give us a qualification there. He just said, do it. Okay, well, I took that excuse, so here's your next excuse. Well, I'm just not very emotional. Liar. If one of those constables that's watching the parking lot and been helping us this week, doing a good job, thank the Lord for them. If they came in and read an announcement, "I'm looking for so-and-so, come with me," and they called your name out, and they needed to get in touch with you because word got to them that your house is on fire, you'd get a little emotional. You would express some emotion. So don't say, "Oh, I can't shout, I'm not emotional." You are, it's just over the wrong things. Amen. Shout, to utter a sudden and loud cry.
Right.
usually enjoy triumph or exaltation. I don't know a whole lot of people that shout over hurtful things, but we do shout over things that are good things. It means a vehement and sudden outcry. The word vehement means acting with great force, very fervent, with passion. There's people in this under this pavilion this week probably got more excited over a deal at Walmart in the last 30 days than you did about the things of God.
Right, yeah.
And we're Baptists. We get excited over deals at Walmart, amen? We tell everybody on Facebook about the deal we got at Walmart. When was the last time we told everybody that we had a great day and nothing went wrong?
Amen.
And by the way, we say, I had a good day. God's been good. Nothing went wrong. God's good whether it went wrong or not.
That's right.
Amen. Psalm 107 verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. If you don't find yourself saying God is good all the time, something's wrong.
Right. Yes.
Something's wrong. I'm saying we've got a good God.
Amen.
We've got something to shout about.
Amen.
Boy, this world gets excited about their things. They get excited over things that's going to burn one of these days.
Yes.
We got things to get excited about. We've got things to shout about. Why? Verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Why do we shout? Because we've got a great God. We've got a great God. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God's been good to every single one of us. I see families sitting together, husbands and wives sitting together, friends sitting next to each other. Man, we made it to church and we got a vehicle and we're going to lay our head on a pillow tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody's already looking, all Cornerstone people looking forward to the pillow already. Amen. 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 I'd like to have the Moore family to come back. We don't need any microphones set up. Maybe y'all gather around the pulpit. I want y'all to sing that song, that very first song you sang tonight about, was it Someday or Amen? We ought to be shouting a victory.
Amen.
When was the last time you just bowed your knee and bowed your heart and said, thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings. Sarah and the girls sang that song Monday night. I just want to thank you, Lord. Boy, I'm going to tell you, he does not hear it enough from us. We need to be more thankful more often. And while they sing this song, maybe you'd like to come to this altar tonight and just bow your knee and just thank God for his blessings. Maybe you take somebody and grab them by the hand and bring them down with you and come thank the Lord together. But I appreciate everybody that's been here this week. I appreciate your kindness. And just reflect a little bit. We can shout a little bit tonight. Amen. Y'all go ahead. I'm getting out of here. You don't want me singing with you. Amen.
There's a city, a beautiful city, just beyond the divide, where God's children shall rest eternal. There will ever abide. Daily longing to reach that homeland, we are going down. See heaven someday. We shall see Jesus someday, by and by.
Someday
these eyes shall behold him in that city on high. We must not linger, we must keep moving. Jesus is leading the way, shouting and singing, joy bells ringing. We shall see heaven someday.
Like the saints who have gone before us, we're determined to stay.
In the path that is straight and narrow, leading us forward each day.
Though we have problems, Jesus is
building and for our heavenly flight.
Someday,
someday we shall see Jesus. Someday, by and by.
Someday,
someday these eyes shall behold him in that city on high. We must not linger, we must keep moving. Jesus is leading the way. Shouting and singing, joy bells ringing, we shall see heaven someday. Someday, someday. Shouting and singing, joy bells ringing, we shall see heaven someday.